You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio. Now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine wackos at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question, you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine, at Lady Diagnosis, who isn't here today, and at Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at weirdmedicine.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, or whatever. All right. Well, very good. Today we have a very special episode because we have a friend of the show who's been on before. His name is Horace. He is the king of the nutshot. He's an American daredevil known for his wild stunts, including his specialty of getting hit below the belt. You saw him on America's Got Talent, an American Ninja Warrior, Howard Stern, and MTV's Numb Nuts, which is an apropos show for him to be on. He's currently documenting his recovering from a cerebral spinal fluid leak and a video log from Monday to Friday on YouTube at youtube.com/nastythehorse. Horse, thanks for being back on our show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm super psyched to be here.
Yeah, man. We had you on the SiriusXM show this week, which actually... it's weird. This will play before that. So I thought we would just give everybody on this side some background on what happened to you, and we'll just kind of go over everything. But we'll have a little more leisurely talk because on the SiriusXM show we kind of ran out of time. But I just wanted to tell you and tell the people who are listening, Horace is such a nice guy. My kids were huge fans when he was on America's Got Talent. That's the only season that they ever watched all the way through, and they were so pissed when Horace got eliminated. But now we'll find out there may have been more behind that than we thought, and he may just not have had the will to continue because when you hear this story, it's horrifying.
It's horrible.
But thank you so much because I sent Horace our address, and he sent my kids autographed photographs of him getting hit in the nuts, and they still have those things. They're posted in their room. So it was just, you really made their day. You know, they know their dad kind of deals with sort of D and G list celebrities from time to time, and one or two A and B list. But to them, you are the A list celebrity that makes all of this bullshit that I have to put them through when I'm, I'm not at dinner every night because sometimes I'm doing my show, or I have to get them to come in and record some stupid thing and they think it's stupid. Mm-hmm. But that's the one thing that they think, wow, that's cool. Dad got us Horace's autograph.
So. That's so awesome. It means everything to me to have kind of a niche and a place in the world when your career is getting hit in the nuts.
Well, people can get on premium.drsteve.com and go back and listen to our podcast that we did with you originally, where we talked about the nutshot thing and how crazy it is and how you've had physicians actually examine your nuts and they're intact and functional. But that's not what you called in about. You've had this cerebral spinal fluid leak. Tell us kind of give us the Reader's Digest version of what happened to you, and give us the time frame of this, because a lot of this was actually going on during America's Got Talent. So what happened?
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, I was training for my second run on America's American Ninja Warrior. And I was going really, I was really motivated, going really hard. I started having my wisdom teeth were giving me issues. So I decided to kind of pay out of pocket. Didn't have insurance at the time. I was going to go in, get my wisdom teeth out. I did so. And when I came back, I started working out. They said, you know, take a little rest, take a couple days off. Well, the very next day I started going full force back into training. And all of a sudden I would get in the car. I would get so sick, motion sickness, that I would throw up just from sitting up for 5 minutes. I couldn't even go to the grocery store without intense pain. And I just never kind of got better from there on out. I had American Ninja Warrior down in Florida a few weeks later. I headed down there. I could barely even get through the rules that you have to listen to before you run the test. I waited in there all day. The only thing I found out I could do was lay down horizontal, which I'm finding out now is because when I'm standing up, that pressure in my head's changing from this cerebral spinal fluid leak that I have. But at the time, I had no idea what was going on. We thought it might have been a infection from me getting my wisdom teeth out, or a sinus infection, kind of a bad reaction to the medicine. Maybe my nerves are damaged during the wisdom teeth removal.
Sure.
And we had no clue what was going on. And
anything but the correct diagnosis. And that's typical of this, is that it's often, well, 100% of the time will be misdiagnosed initially.
Because it can be a million other things.
Yeah. And migraine is certainly more common than a cerebral spinal fluid leak.
Absolutely.
And when you are in American medicine particularly, and if you're in a field in the middle of Utah and you hear hoofbeats behind you, it's almost always going to be a horse. It's no pun on your name intended. It's almost always going to be a horse. It's not going to be a zebra. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, the CSF leak is the zebra. The migraines and the infection and the meningitis and all that stuff, it really is the horse. So they're almost always going to make that mistake.
Right.
Let's get everybody up to speed on what we're talking about. The central nervous system has a series of aqueducts, and it's just sort of
fluid-filled sacs
that are all fed by a plexus of little microfilters at the very top of the central nervous system in the brain. And these things will produce fluid based on how much fluid is in the system itself. So when it's low, they'll produce more. When it's high, they'll produce less. And the goal is to have sort of a constant supply of this clear, it's absolutely crystal clear fluid. And it will bathe not only the inside of the brain, but the outside of the spinal column. It acts as a cushion. If you remember that movie, The Abyss, the dude was safe in these crushing pressures as long as he was completely encased in fluid. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with the fluid. There's no better cushion against trauma and shock and stuff like that than an incompressible fluid. And when you do a lumbar puncture or a spinal tap, they're sticking a needle into that fluid to get samples of it to look for
disease.
For diseases and stuff like that. Every once in a while, when we stick a needle in somebody's cerebral spinal area, the fluid area past the dura, which is the fibrous coating around there that holds all this fluid in, will induce a leak. Right. We'll leave a hole in there, and when we do that, those people will have symptoms that include headache, nausea, vomiting. They will have light sensitivity. They'll have, just a lot of different symptoms like that you can imagine that you would have. And it's worse when they stand up because the pressure in their brain drops. And you can diagnose that a bunch of different ways. Well, I don't want to spoil the surprise. We'll let Horace talk about how he finally.
Well, and it's a whole lot easier to diagnose it when you just had a surgery on your brain or your spine or a puncture to your spinal cord. It's a hell of a lot easier.
Trauma. Yeah. When it's spontaneous or happens in an occult way. In other words, you have some trauma you didn't even realize, and which is the case in this case. So anyway, so now that we've got everybody up to speed, tell us sort of the natural history of this. What happened? So you had these symptoms. You're at American Ninja Warrior, and you're feeling like shit, and you're being misdiagnosed. Then what happened?
Yeah, so, and, you know, I was going around from doctor to doctor, ENTs, neurologists, going place to place, and at this point, we actually were looking for a CSF leak.
Okay.
I remember I did a bunch of tests, and this is actually one of the worst tests I had to do, is they took these huge kind of pads, and they had to take these tweezers and stick them up into my sinuses, and leave them in there for, I think, over 24 hours. And this was to see if I was leaking fluid
into your nose.
Out of my sinuses.
Right. Right.
What I learned now is that they completely should have never even done that test, because if they would have known more about my symptoms and the kind of symptoms I've had, if my leak was in my head, apparently you don't actually get headaches. It's when your leak is below in your spine when you actually get these headaches. So it's like one of those things that it's so kind of I don't want to say new, but like there's just not a lot of knowledge out there that it is, even when they're specifically searching for CSF leaks, there's a lot of mistakes that are made, and people are getting these tests done and they're coming back with no results at all. And they're just passing by and moving on to the next thing, which is what happened to me multiple times. So I'm going through getting all these tests done. And then, in the meantime, a few weeks later, a month later, after American Ninja Warrior, I had the opportunity to go on America's Got Talent, which at the time was the biggest thing that I have done on my career, in my career. And I had to kind of just suck it up and not tell anybody that I was going through pain and I was having these serious headaches and neck aches. And another big thing is I was just exhausted all the time. So I had to kind of just pony up and just kind of drive myself through getting not only going on national TV in front of thousands and thousands of people, but live, but smashing my nuts while doing so.
And Dr. Scott, you never saw his act, but at one point they had him jump off of a 10-foot sort of fake building onto a sawhorse with, you know, one leg on one side and one on the other, just landing right on his nuts.
Jeez.
And the other one that I remember so well, and we mentioned this one on the Sirius XM show, was they did this sort of scenario where he was like a superhero, I guess, if I remember this right. And these bad guys grabbed him and held him upside down and spread his legs apart. And the third guy came running up with one of those bamboo canes that you cane people
with.
Just whapped him right between the legs on his nuts and junk.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing was just insanity. I remember when I originally got the call, they saw one of my YouTube videos and they called me up and said, hey, do you want to be on the show? I started writing kind of acts out and sending it to the producers, and they're like, are you like, this is what you want to do? Like,
oh, this is crazy.
What else could you do? Your talent is getting hit in the nuts. I mean, you couldn't just have somebody stand there and have different people kick them in the nuts.
Or punch.
Yeah, well, it gets, you know, I've done stuff like I tried to like set a record for getting kicked in the nuts. I think I did like 63 times in a row, like really aggressive kicks in a row, like back to back.
And
that stuff just brutal to watch. So like my goal was to kind of be creative and make it fun for everybody to watch. And I really think they brought me in to be just this one-off get buzzed act. And no lie, because the editing on the show kind of changes things a little bit, but like, I left my first act with the entire crowd standing up cheering.
Of course. Like,
it was the most insane experience that I think I've ever gone through.
Hilarious.
You know, just off of me just like destroying myself.
Well, I think it's the greatest thing that's ever been on that show. That's for sure. I really do. So, I mean, I know that Ivanko girl can sing and stuff, but you've just never – seen anything like this dude getting hit in the nuts with all these creative ways. And then the look on your face, which I guess with the headache probably wasn't that hard to mimic. But I'm amazed at how you were able to get through that, because that was brutal. And I never had any inkling that you weren't feeling 100% when you were doing that.
It was really tough. And I guess, you know, I'm supposed to be in pain anyways, and I was in pain from the stunts I was doing.
Yep.
But like, I'd almost feel better when I was doing that stuff because my adrenaline was up and my blood was flowing.
Sure.
So it wasn't typically until after that I would kind of crash and feel horrible. But the thing about the CSF leaks is, like, forget jumping off like 20 foot, like some structure to my nuts. Yelling and screaming was extremely painful.
Wow.
You know, sure. Being able to kind of just yell in pain made it even more painful. Yeah. So it was a whole mental game, just trying to have the energy and try to kind of put everything out there, because I didn't want to leave anything on the line, but at the same time feel like I wasn't going to put myself in the hospital.
Yeah.
During some of the shoots we had on the show.
So how did you finally figure this out? I mean, what happened to lead to your recovery?
So after the show, I went in like full kind of trying to figure out what the hell was going wrong with me and, you know, how can we fix this? And eventually we just kind of ran out of doctors telling me they had no idea what was wrong. So I took it upon myself. I changed my diet completely. I went vegetarian. I found that caffeine was really the only thing that helped me. Yep. And I find that's true now. Like, that's like the one thing that can help with these CSF leaks, dealing with the symptoms, is caffeine.
It's the first thing that we give to people who have a lumbar puncture that have a leak afterward, is they'll give them IV caffeine or just tell them to drink a bunch of coffee.
Yeah. So yeah. I just started kind of working out and forcing myself through workouts, even though I was exhausted. And after like a month, I stopped having symptoms. So I just took it as like a solid lifestyle change. And every once in a while from there on out, I would have like little symptoms if I maybe would gain a little bit of weight or was just being lazy. So I would switch things back and kind of reboot myself and get going and feel good again until the end of 2016 out of nowhere. Now I think I put on some weight, and I just got done shooting an MTV pilot for a new MTV show, and I got back and I was filming stuff for my YouTube, and all of a sudden my symptoms just came back and they weren't going away this time. So I kind of had to reopen the case and figure out what the hell was wrong with me, which led me through a bunch of doctors again. And I went to a neurologist, and she basically told me she didn't think it was a CSF leak. She thought it was migraines. She started treating me for migraines, giving me all this medication that wasn't doing anything. And then she started treating me for depression, started putting me on antidepressants, which wasn't doing anything. And then it was actually one of those situations. It was just out of pure luck. My uncle, who's my family doctor, had a sit-down lunch, like a conference, and sat next to a lady that is in charge of this spinalcsfleak.org organization. She suffered from a CSF leak herself, and she runs this organization to try to help people with CSF leaks. He sat down next to her, started having a conversation, and that's what led me to this lady giving me all this information, reaching out to Duke University. And I was able to send down previous scans from 2012, like MRIs and CAT scans of my head and my spine from way back, and then new scans, and they were actually able to see that my brain was actually sagging in my skull, and that's what gave them the idea that this is probably definitely a CSF leak, and they wanted me to come down and have me fully examined by the experts. And
that's a pretty subtle finding. So what they were seeing was a dearth of cerebrospinal fluid in your central nervous system that was actually causing this subtle change in the configuration of your brain vis-a-vis the fluid around your brain. And that's pretty amazing that they found that. Now, that's not diagnostic, so they would have had to do some other tests. So they brought you down to Duke, and you did what kind of tests did you do after that?
Yeah, so they brought me down to Duke, and I actually they put a contrast dye. I actually watched them do this, which was pretty crazy. I watch the screen of them take a needle and shoot it into my spine and shoot this contrast dye in it. They had me like kind of put my waist up and twist around and stuff. I think I held my hips at like a 45 degree angle for a couple minutes to make sure the contrast dye spread out across my spine. And then they put me in a they took some scans and were actually able to see the contrast dye go through my spine and come out where my spine was leaking.
Give yourself a bill. Mm.
That's the correct test. And they also, I'm assuming, measured your CSF pressure, your cerebral spinal fluid pressure, when they put the needle in the beginning. Do you remember them throwing out any numbers when they first
they definitely did.
Yeah.
And I don't think I remember.
Give yourself a bill.
Doesn't matter what the numbers are, but they did all the right things, which you would expect Duke University to do. I went to Chapel Hill, and we were always rivals, but when it came to medicine, you know, in the research triangle, you know, Duke University is relatively unparalleled.
Yes. Yeah, and they've been dealing. There's three doctors down there. My doctor was Dr. Kranz, and they've been doing this for about 10 years now. But for the last 5 years, it's really picked up, and they almost have more cases of CSF leaks than they can handle. So they're really starting to kind of get an idea of really how to help people. And the symptoms are kind of so – I mean, there are these general symptoms that people go through, but – every case is different, so they're really being able to learn and seeing how people respond to getting patched up. So that was the next step. They actually gave me this blood patch. They found the leak, so they were actually able to take blood from my arm and shoot that into my spine, into the area where the leak was,
right?
Along with some adhesive to help the blood from spreading out in a big area, but keep it more compact. That's what the so they actually heated up this adhesive and put it along with.
That's so crazy.
That's actually the operation. And they put me on a bunch of medication, some crazy painkillers. I was laying on my stomach. I was looking at the doorway, the exit of the room I was in, and the patterns off the floor were like flying off the door, and things were moving. It was a really surreal feeling while they, at the same time, I was looking over and watching them have this needle in my spine where they're injecting my own blood into my body.
That's about as crazy as me watching my own colonoscopy, because I did it without anesthesia. So see this damn big fiber optic scope, you know, magnifying your asshole till it's, you know, it fills up a 50-inch monitor. It's pretty horrific. But anyway, so the blood patch, you inject the person's own blood into the area of the hole of the dura, and it uses the blood's clotting factors to clot the site of hole. So all the you know, when you take blood out or if you scrape yourself, it clots, right?
Right.
So anytime it's in a place where there's a disruption in tissue, it'll start to clot. So that's why it'll clot when you do your skin, but it won't clot in your vessels normally. And so you inject this stuff around where this hole is, and it'll form a clot. But then the cool thing is, what's the next thing that happens after you form a clot is you get these fibrin, you know, these platelets,
scarring.
Fibroblasts come in, and you get scarring, and that will fully seal that area. It's not always perfect. Sometimes it has to be done more than once.
Right.
But it is, when it works, it's a perfect treatment.
And I should mention that I've actually had blood patches done before. I actually had a blood patch before I did America's Got Talent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then and I actually felt like a little bit better, and then I smashed my not only my nuts but my face on the floor on the stage of the AGT stage. But
where did they do the blood patch the first time if they didn't know where the leak was?
It was kind of just a guess, like, hey, you might have a leak.
For God's sake.
So they'd actually shoot the blood at the bottom of my spine and let my whole my whole spine fill up with blood, kind of max it out as much as they could, and then hope that I could just kind of rest and that it would.
Yeah, I don't like that technique.
Me either.
It was so funny because before I went down to Duke this time, I actually had one more blood patch, and the doctor remembered me from before as this nice lady. And we're halfway through this procedure where she's injecting this blood into my spine. And she said, you know, typically this is where I would ask if my patient's okay, but I've seen your videos and I don't need to ask. shooting this blood into my spine.
That's hilarious.
And we just pretty much had to go. She said, all right, well, you just tell me when you can't handle the pain anymore.
Yeah.
And that's because there's actually a limit of how much you can actually fill up, I guess, sure. your dura.
Sure.
And so that's what I did. But yeah, it was like, you know, there's so many tests that I had done and so many things we tried to figure out what the hell was wrong with me that I can't even remember all of it. I mean, it's been a solid 5 years of trying to figure out what was wrong.
So I'm really assuming that they put that blood in the epidural space rather than going into the CSF itself when they injected that. That would be malpractice. But okay, so you had these blood patches before where they just kind of shotgunned it. Then you had the specific one where they knew what was really happening. And that's
the first time they actually knew that I had the leak from this test, which is before they were just guessing.
Right, so now
they actually knew.
So now they know where it is. They can do a specific test, a specific treatment. And then how did you do after that? Were you completely cured immediately as soon as this thing was patched up?
Yeah, so the crazy thing is that I actually went from my body having low pressure because I had less – I was leaking the spinal fluid – and now that they patched it up, my body was still making extra spinal fluid to compensate, and I actually started having high pressure.
Oh, so boy. I
started getting these different type of headaches than I was having before, and I got this major motion sickness to the point where I was trying to travel away from Duke to stay at a friend's house that was kind of nearby, and I actually had to hightail it back about an hour and a half to the ER, try to check in. Because the pain was so bad, and I was laying around on the floor of the ER for an hour or two, going to the bathroom every few minutes and throwing up. And I'm worried about throwing up because I'm pretty violent when I throw up, and I was afraid that I was going to dislodge the patch that I just got done.
Right.
And it got so bad to the point where I'm the king of the nut shot. I feel like I'm the king of pain. I had to pull the emergency string in the ER bathroom. It's the first time I've ever even been at the ER.
Right.
And I pulled the emergency string. They put me in a wheelchair, wheeled me back, put me in the bed back in the back. I think I still had to wait a couple hours before I got seen by the doctor before they made this like headache cocktail and gave me some fluids before I could be on my way. Definitely one of the worst nights of my whole entire life.
So they didn't admit you that night? They just kind of fixed you up and sent you home?
Yeah, I think by the time I actually saw the doctor, I was probably in the bed for maybe an hour, 2 hours.
Okay.
They gave me a whole thing of fluid and let me sleep for a hot minute, and then I was back out.
Okay. And then how long did it take you to get back to normal? Or are you normal?
It was another probably 5 or 6 days before I was not dealing with really bad headaches from the high pressure. And I'd say even today, which I am 49 days into my recovery, I still feel some of that high pressure from time to time when I lay down. So typically when I had low pressure before, I'd get upright headaches and have issues when I was sitting or standing for long. Now, sometimes when I'm laying down all night, I'll get like neck aches and headaches just from laying.
Yeah.
So it's a different thing. It's generally supposed to dissipate within at the most 6 weeks.
You had so there are these people out there that have what we call idiopathic. In other words, we don't know where it comes from. Increase in cerebrospinal fluid, and we call it pseudotumor cerebri, which isn't really what you had, because those microfilters in the top of your brain were just used to producing a shitload of CSF, and because they had to replace what was leaking, and they just can't shut themselves off that quickly, so they're so used to doing it that it's going to take a while. People with this pseudotumor cerebri would have the same symptoms you would have, which would be, again, headaches, ringing in the ears, nausea, vometing, dizziness, sometimes blurred vision. If you look in their eyes, you can actually see changes in the retina called papilledema. I wonder if they did that with you. But, you know, and they can have double vision and stuff like that. The good news is in you, it's probably going to go away as your body adjusts over time, whereas the people with pseudotumor cerebri have to be treated with medication. I had a patient once that had their CSF pressure was so high that when we stuck the needle in to test the pressure, the CSF fluid just shot across the room. That was crazy. Normally, it just kind of dribbles out, so it was quite amazing.
I was worried he was going to say he had to have a shunt after.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
he went, I know. Can you imagine going through all this and then he has to have a fucking
have
shunt, place?
I know.
But anyway, so you're still in recovery. Now, I'm going to ask you this. When you and I talked last time on this show, all of this had to have been going on because it was between America's Got Talent and now. So,
yeah.
I might have been able to help you. Why didn't you say something?
I was probably in the process of trying to figure out what was going on. My biggest concern, and my biggest concern even recently, was, hey, this is my career. Yep. I don't want to put this out there, and then people don't want to work with me.
Yeah,
you know, I all of a sudden I'm an injured animal. You know, I'm just like I'm dead meat. You know, so yeah. I kept it in house, and I just tried to figure it out on my own.
Yeah, and you don't know me from Adam, so you don't know if I can keep my mouth shut because you're not part of the this whole universe that we're part of. But you know, the first thing I would have told you if you had told me about this, and I know hindsight is 20/20. Number one, CSF leak. Number two, get a CT myelogram.
Yeah,
so, you know. But anyway, hey, we're joined by Lady Diagnosis. She's my other partner on the show.
Hello.
And I can't remember. Horse, are you married or are you otherwise encumbered? Because she's single and she's hot. So.
Yeah, I am married.
Okay, never mind. All right, never mind. I'm always asking.
he keeps doing that.
He keeps trying to pawn you off.
Well, I tried hooking her up.
I know.
We had a comedian come down. It was Tim Dillon. I kept trying to hook him up with her. And I kept saying, oh, yeah, she's tall, blonde, great tits and all this stuff. No clue that he was gay. until we saw
well, she's still tall, blonde, with great tits.
Oh, no, yeah,
she's still pretty, but, you know.
Yeah, he could appreciate it, but he wasn't interested. So.
How funny. Anyway. Oh, my God.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I keep trying. We're getting nowhere. Anyway.
Know, that's okay. No, it's okay.
So anyway, but yeah, so man, what you got to plug? I know you're doing your V-blog.
I'm documenting my recovery on YouTube Monday through Friday. I figure I can't get hit in the nuts right now, and that's my calling. So, you know, if I can just kind of document my experience so that people can spread awareness and people can kind of tune in, and if they're having issues with like upright headaches and neck aches and sensitive lights, all these symptoms to CSF leaks, that it might be able to help them out. Because if I would have known what I know now 5 years ago, then I would have been able to fix myself a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Got through this. So that's kind of my goal, is to keep myself sane, tell people, spread the word. And I'm starting to realize a lot of people are reaching out. They don't even have to be going through CSF leaks, but they're going through a recovery or a tough time in life. And it's, you know, it's simple, but just being able to kind of talk and listen. I reach out. I return all the comments. Anybody that leaves a comment, I return. It's kind of created this community of us people that are leaking and otherwise recovering, just trying to get through and kind of be relating to others that are going through similar situations.
Yeah. So if you want to join the leaker community,
the leakers.
Check out Horse's channel.
It's a real
I'm
thing.
Intrigued.
Sure. YouTube.com/nastythehorse. And you got anything else to plug? So you're taking a break from taking nut shots, I guess.
Yeah, I can't. So I can't do anything. My recovery is actually 6 months. I can't for the first first month. I couldn't even lift over 5 pounds.
So you're actually listening this time, because the last time you got
well, I'm trying to do it to the book. Although I just went to Disney World and I didn't follow everything exactly that I was supposed to. But I can only lift 20 pounds right now. I can't do any workouts. So I can't do anything that's bending, twisting, or lifting. So I can't even do yoga right now.
Yeah.
I can start running. I started running at the 1 month mark, and I went a little too hard and I started having a little bit of symptoms again. So I kind of took a break from that. I'm actually doing, so every, if you watch my vlogs, you'll see some of it. Every vlog or every run that I'm doing it during my recovery, I'm doing in a romper and just trying to go to the most heavily populated areas and just be running to try to kind of spread awareness of these CSF leaks.
Wow.
But yeah, it's 6 month recovery, which basically puts me at Christmas. So if all goes well, there will be nut shots for Christmas. That's going to be like being a kid
Hooray.
Again.
Hooray.
That's awesome, man. What about intercourse? They allow you to have sexual congress?
I was not allowed to have any intercourse for the first month, which is difficult. Try to do what you can. But, yeah, that's one thing that wasn't allowed. It's tough. You don't realize when you can't twist at all, there's just so many things that you can't do. And there's so many things I wish I could do.
Yeah.
That it's been a really, I mean, it's a difficult recovering from something, especially when it's somebody like me that's just so insane and wants to do crazy stuff, and I can't even do normal stuff.
Yeah, no. No, that's awesome, man. That I'm just glad you figured it out. You're on the road to recovery. I look forward to seeing you on New Year's Rockin' Eve taking some nut shots with Ryan Seacrest or something.
We're going to drop the ball in my nuts.
There you go. Well, of course that's it. Anyway, well, listen, if you want to check out his vlog, go to youtube.com/nastythehorse. One of the nicest guys in, I guess we can call it show business. Definitely my kids are huge fans. They're going to be excited to know that I talked to you and that that you're okay. And we do look forward to seeing you again on TV. And just let us know where and when we can watch you, because we'll all be there.
Absolutely. And then if you're having any issues with headaches, upright headaches, SpinalCSFLeak.org. They're the people that help me get help and get better.
SpinalCSFLeak.org.
Yep.
And then again, YouTube.com/nastythehorse. All right, man. It's great talking to you again. And just keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, Take care, dude.
All right, we'll see you.
Yep.
Okay. What a nice guy. Hello, Lady Diagnosis.
Hello.
So
who is that nut job? What does he do? Like, he kick himself in the nuts?
No, he gets kicked
living?
In the nuts.
Or he jumps on things and hits himself in the nuts. Or
he jumps off of 10-foot
the boy
things onto sawhorses and lets people punch him in the nuts and stuff. He was on a show called The Doctors where they had him do some of this stuff. And then I guess they did a sperm count and examined his nuts, and he's fine.
Hmm.
Somehow
it
doesn't affect him.
Yeah.
I think he just has a huge pain threshold.
It's got to.
Because really, when he talked about having a myelogram, 99.9% of pain, people think it sucks.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Yeah, so for him to say, oh, it wasn't so bad.
Well, I would say most of those people who are having myelograms are doing it for low back pain, and they probably have a low pain tolerance in the first place.
Could be.
That's a possibility.
Possible.
This guy's got a huge pain tolerance, and he's been in agonizing pain for 5 years.
When they did that,
you know, it was nothing.
Yeah, true.
So, but anyway. All right. Well, we could take a phone call or two since Lady Diagnosis is here. Why don't we do that and just see where we're at? Oh, here you go. Here's one that will lead to a good segue.
Hello, Dr. Steve. It's me, Ronald Reagan.
What?
Calling from the grave.
Oh, God.
No, it's me, Dr. Steve. It's your old pal, Jim. I've never talked to you before, so we're not really upset. But for the longest time, I have had this really dry nose. It started probably when I was about 21, and I'm 26 now. I've heard it could be due to humidity from what I've looked up. But I've lived in humid climates. I lived in arid climates, and I've never really noticed too much of a difference. I eventually found out that rubbing, I think it's Aquaphor. I carry around like Aquaphor and cotton swabs around with me all the time.
He's
just
a fun
because
date.
Sometimes my nose is so dry. I can feel if I pick my nose, I get these really.
Okay, it goes on and on. But
the outside of his nose?
No, it's the inside.
You want to send him Lady Diagnosis' phone number there?
That's
what I was going to say. That's somebody for Lady Diagnosis. He's carrying around Aquaphor and
God bless him.
And dabbing his nose.
I bet he's single.
He sounded like a very nice guy. Nice, sure. You could look over that one thing. Right?
Well, yeah. Especially after we fix him.
Yeah. Because.
So we'll fix him.
I'm pretty sure I have a couple of ideas of why he has a chronically dry nose, and it's probably due to the anatomy of his nasal passages. Now, the nasal passages are designed with these turbinates that they're sort of semicircular little what's the word I want to use, Scott?
They're almost like chutes, kind of gutters on.
Yeah, kind of. Thingies. They're just kind of bloopy out things these sort of semi-round, tubular,
almost
looking
gutter-looking things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And help increase the.
Hang on a second.
Area.
Let me tell it.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, can you call me back in, let's say, 6 minutes, and then I'll be ready. Okay. Sorry. I'm having, they're sort of ridges. They're just ridges. They're big ridges that are lined with active tissue that can swell and contract, okay? And then you've got this thing in the middle called the nasal septum, which if you look at a chimp's nose, you know, there's just two holes going in, and then there's a line between the two holes. That's the nasal septum. It goes straight back. And if you breathe normally and have normal tissues, the air should come through there, be swirled very gently by the turbinates, and then work its way down into your airway in a very linear fashion. But if you've got one turbinate that's bigger than the other, it's going to create lift, right?
Sure.
Or if you have a nasal septum that bows out a little bit, it'll create lift as well, where you've got air that's traveling faster on one side because it has to go around a longer pathway than the other side.
It's Bernoulli's principle.
Yes, Bernoulli's principle.
It's an airplane
exactly right.
wing. Yeah.
And it decreases the pressure in that area. And what it's going to do is it's going to dehydrate that area because you've got low pressure area with faster moving air going, and it'll dry it out, and you'll get boogers and even nosebleeds and stuff like that.
I love boogers.
So what you want to do is she's a catch, guys. She loves boogers and pimple popping. What you want to do is have somebody look up your nose that knows what they're looking at and see if that's the case. If it's bad enough, an ear, nose, and throat person can actually fix that. They can break these tissues and then line them back up again, and it's called a septoplasty. In the meantime, I think what he needs to do is go to simplyherbals.net and ignore all the dowsing bullshit, which, by the way, that dowsing thing you've got looks awesome. They look like they're an inch long your website, but they're big. So you gotta do something to give idea of the scale.
It looks like a sex toy.
That thing is cool.
Now this is my pendulum. I use it for
magic. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. But go to simplyherbals.net and get some of Dr. Scott's sinus rinse. I don't usually do a segue into a fucking commercial for Dr. Scott, but I'm telling you, this sinus rinse is awesome.
It works very well.
It's got saline, but it's buffered with sodium bicarbonate.
Right.
It's got a little glucose in it in the form of some organic honey, and then it's got peppermint oil, even though the bottle says spearmint oil. And you can get it at simplyherbals.net. This is by far the best saline nasal rinse I've ever had.
Ooh, I need to get some.
It's made a huge difference for me. And I've got perennial allergies and stuff.
I think I brought you some this time.
Did you bring her some?
Did you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Fidella.
So we've sent some to a couple of the comedians around. We'll let them. Has that one been used? That's the only. Okay. The other problem I have with this, you can't tell if somebody's already opened it and used it.
All the ones I have that we ship out.
There's
a seal. Absolutely right. No. This is just these are the ones I brought.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. $5.
Fidella.
You just made $5.
Fidella.
So anyway, check him out at simplyherbals.net.
There's some boogers on there.
And don't forget amazon.drsteve.com for all of your Amazon needs. It takes you to an intermediate page where you click through to Amazon, but it really helps to keep Weird Medicine on the air and Riotcast going. Tweakedaudio.com, offer code FLUID, F-L-U-I-D, for the best earbuds for the price and the best customer service in the industry. And don't forget blueapron.com/medicine. You get 3 free meals and free shipping on your first order. And if you're interested in the Beachbody, on-demand system, which gets you P90, P90X, a bunch of other stuff, hot women showing you how to be in better shape so you can do the workout or you can beat off. It doesn't really matter. Text medicine to 303030. That's medicine to 303030. And if you're interested in getting the archives of our show and premium content, go to premium.drsteve.com. Best place to listen to our app, I think, is using to our show is using the Weird Medicine app on the Play Store or at iTunes at the App Store. All right, let's do one more, and then we'll get the hell out of here.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I'm just calling in regards to – there was a caller a couple weeks ago saying that he was asking people to donate blood. He cited an unfortunate story about his child and everything, which turned out great. I just want to let you guys know that I donated blood the other week. And for people that are curious about it or are afraid of it, it was a mostly painless experience. It was no different from getting blood drawn as far as the needle goes. And, yeah, it was nice. Everybody there was great. If you're afraid of it, go with a friend. I highly recommend you do it. It was a great experience, and I plan on doing it as regularly as possible. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Cool, man.
Way to go, dude.
Awesome. Very good. Thank
Way
you.
Way to go.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
No, I can't
not.
Do it.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
I have no friends, first of all.
I'll go
but
with you.
But it hurts.
We'll go with you.
No, it doesn't.
Well, they can never find a vein, and then when they do, it won't come out.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. But
drink lots of water.
The people at the blood,
lots of water.
At the blood center are really, really good at this.
Yep.
And if you'll go, I'll go, because I used to give blood all the time. And it is just like getting, blood drawn, mm-hmm. except this is the weird part, and they got to do something about this. So they stick this needle in your vein, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty decent sized needle. And then they've got this tubing that goes into the bag, right? And they lay the tubing over your arm, and that warmth, you can feel the warmth of your blood going through the, as it lays over your arm through that tube. That kind of skeeves me out a little bit.
Ew.
So you phlebotomists who are doing this, lay like a little hand
gauze
towel
or something.
A little hand towel or some gauze or something like that. Over that so that you can't feel that, because that's the only part that kind of makes me feel pukey is when I feel that warmth. And then it goes away, but it's fine. And then you feel a little euphoric afterward, because when your blood volume drops like that, you get kind of a weird high. I don't know if it releases endorphins or if it's just because your blood pressure is a little low and you're feeling a little woozy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can walk around feeling good that you saved somebody's life because you just did.
And you'll have lower cholesterol.
That's true.
Oh.
Hooray.
Oh,
you're removing some fats
some
from
toxins.
Your body. We had somebody call in one time and said, now if I drop acid and then donate blood.
Oh, no, yeah.
And I'm like,
really?
Can
oh, my God.
The people who are getting your blood
discourage that.
Don't need somebody fucking around with a practical
that.
Joke.
Mm-mm.
Because they're in some sort of extreme situation.
Right.
So anyway, please don't do that. Anyway, well, thank you, Lady Diagnosis, for coming. You're delightful as always. Thanks always.
Oh,
go to Dr.
Boy.
Scott. Listen to our Sirius
Shut
XM
up,
show on the Opie Radio channel, Sirius XM 103. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Well, we got some news for you guys when it comes to the XM show in the future, for those that are still listening. It's a secret.